Privilege and a pleasure to have this opportunity to be with you here at the Macedonia Friendly Baptist Church, and it's good to see each and every one of you. Turn to a portion of scripture here this morning found in the book of Hebrews that I want to begin as I speak to you. Trust the Lord is with us, and this is something the Lord has placed on my mind. It's about what I want to do. I want to read several scriptures here in this and make some comments, but there's one particular thought that I want to take from it, and that is, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Sin had to be paid for, and it couldn't be remitted without the shedding of blood. And there's a scripture in the midst of this that I'll read from Hebrews that'll tell us that. But we'll start in chapter 9. We'll begin there in verse 19, where it says this: "For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and with a scarlet wool and hyssop, and he sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all are by the law purged with blood. And then he makes this statement, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So here we see the apostle is writing here to the Hebrews, telling them what they did under the law service in the taking of bulls and goats and sheep and taking the blood and sprinkling them around, all as a type and a shadow of that was necessary to redeem us from our sin. None of that blood that was shed and sprinkled under the law service or under Judaism ever removed one sin. All it ever did was point to the necessity of the blood of Jesus Christ that was necessary to be shed on Calvary's cross to remit our sins. Remission of sins. You know, when we think of that, I think of that scripture that, you know, there's a religion that was started some years ago by a man who took a scripture and he made the wrong application of that scripture as far as the remission of sins. And he took from that scripture and he made baptism necessary for the remission of sins. No, baptism is not necessary for the remission of sin, but the shed blood of Jesus is for the remission of sin. That scripture is found in the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 38, where it says, and Peter said unto them, and this is Peter's preaching, he said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now, this man that started this religion took that scripture and says, that scripture says baptism is necessary for your sins to be remitted. And so this particular order, and I won't mention it because some of you here may have kin folks that are involved in it, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm telling you it's wrong for them to preach that baptism is necessary for the remission of sins, or that baptism is that by which you receive eternal life, because it is not that, and therefore I'm telling you that scripture does not say that. Well, let's just take a look at that scripture and see what it does says. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. How are your sins remitted? By Christ, not by baptism. And that's what that scripture says. No way to take anything else from it. And then the apostle proves it by God's holy inspired word when he says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's necessary that Christ must have went to the cross to redeem us from our sins. Now we want to take a look at some scriptures that talk about what the shed blood of Jesus Christ did for us. Now Jesus here, I'll turn over here to the book of Matthew, and this was when Jesus had taken his apostles up into a large upper room, and in that upper room they took part of the last Passover supper. But whenever they took part of the last Passover supper, Jesus set up something for the church to participate in, and Brother Will mentioned it here. This church will be involved in it next first Sunday of May, in which you have the communion of the saints together around what Christ did for us. And so here in this particular portion, Jesus set up how that service would be done. It's found in the book of Matthew, and it says, it tells us here how our sins are remitted. And it says here, beginning at verse 26, and it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" What was the shed blood of Jesus on the cross for? It was for the remission of our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God required it, and Christ went to the cross, and on the cross he finished the work. He shed his blood, and by doing so, he remitted the sins of all that God the Father gave to him in a covenant of grace before the world was, and their sins were paid for in full by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, it was for the remission of our sins. That's what the shed blood was. Also, the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, the scripture will tell us over here in the book of Acts, was a purchase price that was necessary for us to be bought back to God by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We were purchased with the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. It was the purchase price that was required. You say, well, God the Father gave this covenant people to the Son, but he didn't give us to them without a price to be paid. A price had to be paid in order to redeem us and to cleanse us from our sin. And that price was the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And we'll find here in the book of Acts, it says here in chapter 20, beginning at verse 25, it says, "And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Yes, Jesus had the price, the purchase price necessary to redeem us before God and to purchase us from God and to pay that was necessary to redeem us before God, which was his shed blood. He redeemed us. He purchased us with his own blood. "For I know that after this my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Yes, we've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we want to turn over to the book of Romans, where we'll find a scripture that tells us, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, by His blood that He shed on the cross, we've been justified before God, justified only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It says in chapter 5 of the book of Romans, we'll begin there at verse 6. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And I'm glad for the way that says that. It didn't say He waited for God's people to get godly and He died for those that got godly. No, He died for the ungodly. He died for you when you were yet in sins and in trespasses. He died for you when there was nothing good in you to cause Him to do it for you. He did it because of His great love. He did it because of His great grace. He did it because of His great mercy. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we have been justified in the sight of God, in spite of the fact that we're sinners, by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that was shed there on Calvary's cross. Justified by the blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now I want to stop right there. Saved from wrath through Him. What wrath were we saved from? We were saved from the wrath of hell. We were saved from the wrath of eternal punishment, because that's where we were headed. We were headed straight to hell, I'm telling you. It was in us. We were sinners. We were worthy of eternal punishment and separation from God. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, He's justified us and saved us from that wrath. We, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And that salvation that He's talking about there is the timely salvation that we experience here in time as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ and we serve Him in service and in worship services to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Saved through His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Yes, our sins have been atoned by the substitute and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and justified by His blood. Now, I want to turn to a scripture here that'll tell me about that offering of blood. That offering of blood on the cross, I'm telling you, and I'm telling you of a fact according to what this book tells me, it was not made to me. It was not made to you. It was not made to the sinners that were at the foot of the cross. That blood offering that was made on the cross, it was made to God Himself. Why was it made to God? God didn't need a blood sacrifice to save Him from sin. No, He didn't. But God was the offended party because of our sin. And God was offended. And Christ had to make an offering of His blood. And He had to make that offering to God, not to me, not to you. The world will try to tell you that He made that offering to you, and all you got to do is accept that offering in order to go to heaven. But that simply is not true. That offering was made to God. And we'll find the evidence of that spoken of here in the book of Hebrews. And it says here in chapter 9, we'll begin there at verse 11. It says, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, nor hath not made by hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." You see, Christ on the cross obtained eternal redemption for us who are his children. "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer and the sprinkling of the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself," now listen to this, "offered himself without spot to who? God. Offered himself without spot to God. That offering was not made to me. It was not made to you. It was not made to the sinners at the cross, but it was made to God. And God proved his acceptance of that offering." Why? Because when Christ was taken down from that cross, buried in Joseph's barred and new tomb for 3 days and three nights, God proved his acceptance of that blood offering when on the third day he arose again from the grave. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ is that that's necessary to remit us from our sins. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, not any other thing that you can name that was necessary for your redemption. We'll find over in the book of the first epistle of Peter, it says here, beginning at verse 14, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the same of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers." Well, if you weren't redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, how were you redeemed? "But with the precious blood of Christ, who is of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you." Yes, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We'll find over in the first epistle of John that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. We'll find it in chapter 1 of the first epistle of John. It says, "This then is the message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." And then in verse 7 he says this, "And if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all of our sin." Yes, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, and we've been cleansed from our sin by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, turning over to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, we'll find that we've been washed from our sins by the blood of Jesus. It says here in chapter 1, verse 4, "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come,
come, and from the seven spirits that are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Yes, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We've been washed from our sins by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and he's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. One other scripture now in closing out this subject on the blood of Jesus. We'll find a little further over in the book of Revelations, where it says we've been made white in the blood of the Lamb. And it says, beginning at verse 9 of chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand." Now here they were. This is what John saw over in heaven. He saw an innumerable host. How many? I don't know. I can't count them. That's too many for me to count. Can they be counted? Yes, they can be counted. God knows every single one of them. God knows the exact number of them. But it was a multitude of people. It was a people out of every nation. It was a people out of every kindred. It was a people out of every nation upon the face of the earth. And they were out there, and they were crying. They were robed in white robes. They had palms in their hands, and they were all crying with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." Yes, they were there. They were giving God all the praise and all the honor and all that they could give him. Praise and honor and glory to God for salvation that is of the Lord. For salvation that came to them while they were yet sinners and unworthy of the least of his mercies and his merits. And then the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell upon the throne and their faces, and they worshiped God, and they said, "Amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever." And then one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "Who are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And then the answer came to that one that asked that question, and they said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which were out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white." How? In the blood of the Lamb. Yes, the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, has made us white as the new driven snow. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Reviewing over this morning the things that we've seen. We've seen how Jesus, when he set up the communion supper, he said about the wine, "As you drink the wine, this is representative of my blood, which is for the remission of your sins." We saw how Jesus, when he shed his blood, he purchased us. He paid the purchase price that was necessary for God to be satisfied with us as sinners here in this world. We were purchased by the blood of Jesus. We've been justified before God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ that's been applied unto our lives. That blood offering that he made on the cross was not made to me, not made to you, but it was made to God. And God proved his acceptance of that offering when he raised Jesus up from the grave on that third and appointed day after he was placed in Joseph's borrowed tomb. We've been redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The shed blood of Jesus Christ Christ cleanses us from all of our sin. We've been washed from our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. And finally, we saw how we've been made white as the new driven snow by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your attention, and thank the Lord for His shed blood that He shed on the cross to redeem us back to God and to clear us and give us a way to go to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your finished work on Calvary's cross. Now, I ask you to pray and pray for Elder Martin as he comes now to preach the gospel to you. Thank you.
Hark the voice of love and mercy sounds aloud from Calvary. See the winds of rocks asunder, shakes the earth. Christ the Lord.